the question of why they were gozer ksanim. And one, yesterday, last time, we talked about Rashi Shita and Argish of Lavadaita. So another possibility comes up from Tosfos, at least possibly, and specifically the idea that according to Rabbi Nechemya, they weren't gozer ksamim on Davar She'eino Mekabel Tumah. So why is that? And what does that tell us about the nature of gzeres ksamim? So Tosfos tells us, Taima de Rabbi Nechemya, Kevan de Davar She'akesem bo tahor, Gam ala isha lo gozru tumah. Since the object upon which the blood landed is tahor, so they weren't gozer tumah on isha. Why? So Tosfos doesn't tell us. So there are other Rishonim that might be saying the same thing, but they spell it out a little more explicitly in the Rashba, and even more explicitly in the Ramba, in the Ran. The Rashba writes two reasons for Rabbi Nechemya. The first one is Mipnei Shelo Gazru Ela Al Hamatzui V'Dav Shein Makabel Tama Eino Matzui Shetei Balav. They were only gozer ksamim Davar Hamatzui. Right? Generally speaking, when it comes to Xeros, where goes there only on the Matsui, how often do you sit on something that's not Mekabel Tumah? Very unlikely. And therefore, Lo Gazru. Okay. Pretty straightforward. Then his second answer, he says it in the name of Nemuke Harav, Taima lefi shelo gazar ela al dam, shenimtza bedavar shera'ui letamo, machmas reyus dam, Dishtakach begave. The agav hachi mitaminan gam haisha. So, this might be what Tosfos is saying. It's a little clearer. We have to be mitame, the thing upon which the blood landed. And agav that, we're mitame the isha. What does that mean? So, damnida is an avatama. It will be metame, kalim, for example, that it lands upon, that it touches. So we have to be metame, let's say, her underwear, or her chair that she's sitting on, or the like. And then, agav, that we're metame her underwear, so we're metame her. And the run is perhaps even more explicit. Vai taima, mishum de bedavar hamakabel tuma, kevan shema shenimtza lav hakesem tame, gazur barabanan kedei shelo yavau letaher habeget. So he says, quite explicitly, and I think this is the simple reading of what the Rashba means, and probably what Tosfos means as well, though we'll see in a moment, this is subject to a dispute among the Achronim. The Ran says that the pshat is like this. We have to be metame, again, let's say her underwear. That's a din d'oraisa, meaning to say that dam nida below hargasha does not make her asura, does not make her temeya mishum nida, but it is an avatoma. And therefore, it would make her underwear, if that's where it lands on, tame, if it touched her. It would also make her Tumeya. Not Tuma Shiva, Tuma Saref. She touched a Avatuma. She wouldn't be a Asura Labayla, but she would become Tumeya, like if she touched a Sheretz. And therefore, we have to be Metame the Beget. And that's very confusing, the Din Torah. What's the Din Torah? The Din Torah is that her underwear are Tumeyim, but she is Tahora. That's confusing. Now, for us it's not so confusing, because we understand, okay, there's different Tumas. There's Tumas Nida, which comes from Ri'as Nida, and Ri'as Nida requires Hargasha, so since this is down below Hargasha, it wasn't a Ri'as Nida, so she doesn't become Tumea Nida, and she because it doesn't become a Surah Labayla, but still, the Dam is an Avatuma, so through the Nagiya, it is metame her underwear, and we could understand that, but that's very confusing. It's not so easy to understand. And therefore they basically said, well, any time the beged is going to become tame, because it's mekabel tama, so we'll say she also becomes asura as though she was anida. She becomes tamea as though she was anida. To prevent that confusion, ad kan. So again, that's probably the simple reading of Tosfos as well. Tosfos doesn't spell it out, but that's likely what he means. Now, this might explain why a number of Rishonim don't seem to hold of the Isser Ksamim Bizman Hazeh. The Ravid quotes the Eshkol, and this might also be the view of the Rif, the Bahag, the Shiltos, all of whom do not quote any Dine Ksamim in their treatment of Hilchos Nida. Why not? So the Ravid explains that's because they understood that Dine Ksamim were only applicable for a person that is Makbid Antaros, or at least in a world where people were Makbid Antaros and Tum Antar and the like. Because that's where this Gzeira Shayach. But Bizman Hazeh, it's not Shayach anymore. Right? There's no confusion. The whole reason for Ksamim is because of the confusion that the underwear will be Tamei and she'll be Tahor. That's so confusing. It's not confusing at all nowadays because we don't think about whether or not our underwear are Tamei or Tahor. It's nothing confusing. So there's no reason for the Gzeira. So therefore, the Eshkol and his group of Rishonim argue that there is no Dine Ksamim Bizman Hazeh. Now, the other Rishonim might say there's a different reason for Ksamim, or they might say, like Rabbi was saying, Batla Taima Lo Batla Takana. And that's an interesting question. Could be that even in those days, Ksamim was only for people that were Oskin Betaros. So it's not that the Gzeira doesn't apply anymore. It never applied for people that were not careful about Tum and Tara. An interesting question, but one way or the other, we certainly reject those Rishonim. That's why we're learning Siman Kuf Tzadi. Siman Kuf Tzadi would not exist in the Eshkol Shulchan Aruch. But we do. It's interesting when you look at the Ravid's Dechia for that. It's in the Psicha to Shaar Ksamim. He says, "I'll prove to you it's wrong." And his ikar proof is the Gemara Nida Nun Beis on the base, which we talked about before, namely that Ksamim could be Mevi Lidei Karban. So you see that they're Deoraisa, and therefore they should apply even Bizman Hazeh. Now, we've talked about that Gemara, and we noted that though that is the simple reading of the Gemara, the simple reading of Rashi, simple reading of the Rambam, and Nida Perek Vav, Perish Mishnayos Nida Perek Vav Mishnah Yud Gimel, but we don't really accept that reading. We accept the reading of probably Rov Rishonim, the Ramban, and the Rashba, and the Ritva, and the like, who say that Gemara Lamaskana, even though it's a bit dochak, is not saying that Ksamim could ever bring a person to a karban, because Ksamim are always derabanan, because you need a hargasha to become a nida mederaisa. So this isn't doesn't necessarily tell you something, but it is interesting that the primary refutation that the Ravid has against this view wouldn't even be akasha the way we assume in the Gemara Nun Beis. But be that as it may, we.
But the
Pashup Pshat wasn't, but Lididan, which reading do we accept? We accept the Ramban and the Ritva and the Rashba, right? We assume that Dam, as we mentioned last time, that Dam and a Makor B'li Argash is not Asura Medereisa.
We don't know how the other Rishonim like Eshkol and the Ritva and the Gemara specifically.
As far as I know, I don't know. That would be a good question. You could try to figure it out. I didn't try to figure it out. I don't know if it could be figured out. But it's just an interesting hara that the principal question that the Ravid has on this view wouldn't really bother us. But either way, we don't accept this view. We paskin that Dine Ksamim apply nowadays. Now, we have to ask a very basic question on this Mahalich of the Ran. For now, we'll put together the Ran, the Rashba, Tosfos, this Mahalich, and figure out why that is. What is the Pshat? Why is it that the Beged will become Tameh, but she will not become Asura, or she will not become Tameh Tumas Nida? So, the Noda Behuda, in explaining this Tosfos, says that this is because we hold of the opinion, and this Tosfos is assuming like the opinion of Mekor Mekomo Tameh. There's a Machlokas Tanaim that appears several times in Maseches Nida, whether Mekor Mekomo Tameh or Mekor Mekomo Tahor. Let us briefly explain that, because to appreciate this Tosfos, we have to at least be somewhat familiar with that. And this is principally, it's a Machlokas in a world of Tumantara, but it will come up several times in our Limud. And we'll briefly explain that. So, first we'll start with the opinion of Mekor Mekomo Tameh. What does that mean? So there's a Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand that position. According to the opinion of Rashi, Tosfos, Tosarash, in a number of places, Anida Tazayin Amad Aleph, Chav Beis Amad Aleph, Mem Aleph Amad Beis, Samach Vav Amad Aleph, Ayin Aleph Amad Aleph. The idea of Mekor Mekomo Tameh is very literal. The Mekor is Tameh. In other words, the Mekor, the uterus, is an Avi Avos HaTuma. And it's Metameh the blood, or things that touch it, through Maga. And that would make the Dam Nida an Av HaTuma. And not only that, but if you hold Mekor Mekomo Tameh, if you hold that the Mekor is an Avi Avos HaTuma, we're calling it Avi Avos because it creates another Av HaTuma. I don't think so, but that's the easiest way to think about it. It's an avatama that can make an avatama. The lashon of avi avos atama is just a word that we generally use. It's not a separate category. It's something that we use to explain that concept when you have an avatama making an avatama. So that's why, if it's true that mekor mekomo tameh, that the mekor is an avi avos atama, so then it could actually make other things that touch the Mekor an Av HaTuma, even if they're not Dam Nida. So you could have things, and those are the various disputes in the Masechta, things that aren't technically Dam Nida, becoming an Av HaTuma by touching the Mekor. Now, the problem with this, as Tosfos notes, is that this violates all the rules of Tuma and Tara. For example, it's Tuma Belua, and Beis Astarim, and the like. It shouldn't really be true. It shouldn't really be true. So why is it true?
It shouldn't be true that
even if the Mekor was in Avi Avos HaTuma, that it would be Metame things that it touches.
Including Dam Nida.
So the answer, basically, it's a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. It's an exception to the normal rules. The normal rules are that this wouldn't become Tameh. And the Chiddush, we'll talk about the Makor maybe a little bit later, but the Chiddush that Dam Nida is an Avatuma is teaching me that this breaks the normal rules. Okay, there are lots of other interesting exceptions that relate to Dam Nida, and this is one of them. Just to read to you a bit of Tosfos, this one is from Tessayin Amad Aleph. Still, Hacha Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinaihu Teda Shamakor Tame Vaisha Tahora. Right? It's pretty strange. She's walking around with a Avi Avos HaTuma inside of her. No problem. So basically, halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, that's the way it works. That's the view of Tosfos. So therefore, again, let's take one nafka mina, Mekor Hiziyash Tibe Margolios, or Dam Maka. Right? Dam Maka is not Dam Nida, but it would be if you have a Maka Shebe Mekor. So you don't become Asura Misham Nida. You don't become Tameya Nida. But she would become, that Dam, even though it's not Dam Nida, it's an Av HaTuma. If you hold Mekor Mekomo Tameh. The Ramban doesn't like this. And he says, no, the pshat is that his lashon is Alexeris HaKasov Shetuma Nivre Sham Mitchila V'chol Shenivra Bo tamehu. Anything that's created, that comes into existence in the makor, is tame. It's not because it touched it. It's not an exception to maga besa starim. Rather, how does the tuma become tame, right? Like we said, dam nida is a ava tuma lekuliyama. So it's a type of tuma yesh meayim, right? Out of the blue. So where does it come from? That's what the Torah is machadish. When anything created in the makor, if you hold makor makom tame, then it's going to be, whether it's dam nida or damaka or margolios or whatever else happens to be in there, anything created in the makor, gzeres hakasav, is an avatama. Okay, so that's the basic idea. We'll talk about this machlokas and other occasions, and it might be relevant to this as well, as we'll see in a couple of minutes. So, says an Oda Behuda, very simply, if you hold makor makom otame, then dam nida bli hargasha is going to become an avatama, right? Either because it touched the makor, or because it was created in the makor. She doesn't become a surah, she doesn't become tamei tuma shiva, but the dam is still an avatama. So mimela, if the dam leaves her body and lands on her skirt would become tamei, or tamei, and therefore, agav, the tuma on her skirt, were mitamei her. Good. That's the way the Noda Yehuda reads Tosos, which is the simplest way to read Tosos. Now, the Chasam Sofer on this Gemara, Nun Chesmed Aleph, gets very upset at the Noda Yehuda. And he says, first of all, are you basically telling me that there's no Gzeres Ksamim, Laman De'amim Makor Makom Otahor? And that all the Gemaras that talk about Ksamim are only Laman De'amim Makor Makom Otame? Machlokas Tanoim? It's not even so clear how we paskin. Even if you assume we paskin Makor Makom Otame, but still, that's very dochak. And he has some other questions. He doesn't think Tosus's pshat would explain Mashtisa. After all, the Mashtisa would, we're going to talk about what a Mashtisa is a little more later, but the Mashtisa would not become Tamei from touching this Damnida. So why would Damnida that lands on a Mashtisa make her Tameya, Midin Ksamin? Just like if the Damnida lands on the floor, on Karka Olam, she's Tahora, because we say since the floor doesn't become Tamei, so there's no confusion, we're not going to be Mitamei her. So too, the Dam lands on a Mashtisa, the Mashtisa isn't going to become Tamei. So why should we be Mitamei her? It should be just like Karka Olam. So he'll say, okay, low plug. So that's presumably what the Noda Yehuda would say, but he thinks it's very dochak. It's very dochak, a strange low plug. In other words, once we're making exceptions, so, you know, make the exception for Karka Olam. So how does he explain Tosos? Yeah.
How do you say Tosos teretz about Tumas
Nagan? Yeah, so it would become Tamei Tumas Nagan, but it wouldn't become Tamei Nida. So why do we have to mitamei her? What's the only reason why we're mitamei her? Agav, because we're mitamei the underwear, she's confused.
You could just say it was an all tuma.
That's the answer. Right, that's what Noda Yehuda would say back. It's a low plug. Anything that's mekabel tumah of any sort, they were machmir, even though the reason doesn't apply. He doesn't think, he thinks it's a very strange low plug. So, what does he say? So, to explain Tosfos, he says a whole pilpul. Now, it happens to be that, even if you think his pilpul is plausible in Tosfos, we showed how the other Rishonim's formulation of this answer, the Ran especially, and Rashba as well, really do sound like the Noda Behuda's Pshat Tosfos, namely, since we're Agav, we're Mitamei the Beged, we have to Mitamei her. So even if you accepted his Pshat and Tosfos, it's going to be very difficult in the other Rishonim. He doesn't address that. He's trying to explain Tosfos. But since it really does sound like Tosfos is getting that same answer, and even if it's not, we have to explain the other Rishonim, so we're not going to focus too much on the Chasam Sofer's answer. It's Mamisha, it's fascinating pilpul, Tosus is coming to be Miyashev, the Beis Yosef's Kasha, and it's all, every Kasem is his fake Sveka, but, so really every Kasem should be Mutter, because she doesn't pay attention
to what she's doing, but if she's makbid about tum and tara, so then of course she's going to be looking around her surroundings, and then you can't really say it's me'alma, and then it's only one suffik, and then she's usher, and then the thing is usher, and ayin shem. But basically says that the note of yudis pshat doesn't make any sense, so you need to say a different pshat, and he says a different pshat. So how do we answer the question? So there's really two possibilities. One possibility is to bite the bullet, like the note of Yehuda does, and say, yeah, enachanami, this gzeira, this sugya seems to only be going according to the mandai mekor makom otamei, and enachanami. Either the mandai mekor makom otahor doesn't hold of ksamim, or it doesn't hold of Rabbi Nechemia. He holds of a different reason for ksamim. Maybe he holds the reason for ksamim is because Dilma Agrisha Balavadaita, or some other reason. And you wouldn't be machalik between if a kesem lands in makabel tuma and a makabel tuma. It's not such a big deal. We pass him like Rabbi Nechemia. We pass him like makor makom tamei and shine. It's not. There's no pircha. Okay. The Chassam Sofer said kama min adochak. I don't think it's adochak. That's one possibility. The other possibility is to say what Rabbi Ki Beger says. Fascinating shuva, Rabbi Ki Beger. You have all these shuvas and makor sheets I sent you. But Rabbi Ki Beger basically says no. Even according to the Manda Amar, Mekor Mekomo Tahor, still Dam Nida below Hargasha would be an Avatama. Now why would that be? Right? The Nobi Yudah made a lot of sense. Nobi Yudah said, that's if you hold Mekor Mekomo Tame. Because then the Dam is an Avatama just by dint of its being in a Mekor. But what does the Rabbi Ki Beger say? In other words, let's just clarify the point of contention, and then we'll try to explain what it is, why it is. If you have dam maka b'makor, so then everybody agrees that according to manda amar makor makom otame, it's tame, and according to manda amar makor makom otahor, it's tahor. If you have dam nida b'makor, so then what's the din? According to Noda Bihuda, it's not an avatama lamanda amir makor makom otahor. It's just like dam maka. So therefore, if that dam nida leaves the makor without hargasha, it's not going to be metame or underwear. And if you hold makor makom otame, then that dam became an avatama in the makor, however it did, tosos, ramban, whatever, and it is going to be an avatama. That's the way the Noda Bihuda is looking at it. The Yeager says, no, not true. There's a machlokas about damaka b'makor, about the tipe margolios shebimakor. But there's no machlokas about damnida shebimakor. Damnida is automatically an avatama, regardless of how it leaves the body. In other words, regardless of whether it leaves bahargasha or shalobahargasha, regardless of whether you hold makor makomotame and makor makomotar. Now, what's the idea? We have this gzer sakasav, that Damnida is an Avim Tumah. But what's the Pshat in Gzeiras HaKasav? So, let's think about it this way. When does the Damnida become an Avim Tumah? So, according to the Manda Amar Kamatame, we know, in the Makor, again, whether you learn from its creation in the Makor, or from Negiah to the Makor, but that's when it happens. But what about according to the Manda Amar, Mekor Mekom Otahor? When does the Dam become an Avatama? So this is really where Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Noda Bihuda are disagreeing about. According to Rabbi Akiva Eger, the answer is in the Makor. According to the Noda Bihuda, it's Bishas Re'ia. When she becomes Anida, i.e., you have Re'ias Dam Behargasha, so then the Dam becomes an Avatama. If the dam leaves her body without a hargasha, there's no ri'as dam, nida, she has no hargasha, so then it never becomes an avatama. That's the way the Noda Bihuda is reading it. Rabbi Ki Beger says, no. Dam nida becomes a makor, becomes an avatama immediately. Not because it touched it, because it's not an avatama, but presumably, this might be along the lines of the way the Ramban explains the Manda Amar Makor Makom Otame, but only with respect to Dam Nida. It's created that way. From its creation, when the Makor creates this damanida, it's an avatoma. That's the way it's created. It doesn't become an avatoma b'shas ru'iyah. It becomes an avatoma upon its creation, upon its inception. It's always an avatoma. The makor doesn't, other things in the makor are not affected by the makor, if you hold makor makom otahor, but damnida is an avatoma. And from its creation, it's always an avatoma. It doesn't become an avatoma when it leaves the makor b'argasha. It was always an avatoma. Even according to the Manda Amar, makor makom otahor. And that's where Rabbi Noda Yehuda disagrees. Noda Yehuda says, no. It's when it leaves. It's when you have the Riyah Bargasha that it becomes an avatama. So put a little differently, their debate is the extent to which the Tumah of the Dam is connected to the Tumas Nida, or the Isser Nida. Right? We know that there are these two parshiyos in the Torah. We know that Ariyas Dam Nida makes her Tumea, makes her Asura. And we know the Dam is an avatama. Are these two things related to each other or not? Again, within the opinion of Makor Makom Otahor. According to the Noda B'Yuda, they're related. When does the Dam become an Avatoma? When she becomes Tamei Nida. They're related. They're one Parsha. According to Rebbe Kivegar, they're not related. Just like they're not related Laman Damer Makor Makom Otame. They're also not related. Laman Damer Makor Makom Otar. They're two parshios. They're two different makoros. Two different drashos. They're unrelated. When does the Dam become an avatama? When it's created in the makor. When does she become Tamei Anida? When she has a Riyah Bargasha. They're not the same parsha. And therefore, Bein Laman Damer Makor Makom Otame, Bein Laman Damer Makor Makom Otahor, the Dam Nida Mea Makor is an avatama, even if it's Beli Hargasha. So Memela, the Gzeira of Tzamin, as explained by Tosus, the Ran and the Rashba, makes perfect sense whether you hold like Makor Makom Otame and whether you hold like Makor Makom Otar. So it's a very interesting thing to think about. One of the questions we haven't really dealt with together, but something we need to think about, is the question of how much does Tumas Nida relate to Isser Nida? They're also in two parshios in the Torah, famous Tosus and Bava Kama, the Kuzari, all that. That's one, it's a more famous question. But another question we have to think about, and that's what this discussion over here is about, is how much is the Dam being an Avatuma related to Riyas Dam Nida, Isser Nida, Tumas Nida, and the like. And that's the Machlokas Rishonim over here, and Achronim, how to understand the Machlokas Rishonim. Okay. Turning to Sif Aleph, we have the famous Truma Sadeshan. So the Truma Sadeshan writes the following. I assume you all saw it inside. I'm going to skip to the middle. Vim tomar benido didan yesh latamos tve mi tamacher. Sharei hirgisha. V'nira de'isha de'hirgisha uvad kacharkach v'loma tzasa klum yesh latama. Divadai yatsa tipas dam kechardal onimak. So what happened? A woman had a hargasha. And she never found any dam. So what's the halacha? So the Trumas Hadashin says, we have to assume that there was some dam nida. Now, note the lashon of vadai. We're going to return to that point a little later. De vadai yatzatipas dam kechardal. Aye, if there was dam, where'd it go? Why didn't she see it? She even did a bediga afterwards. So where'd it go? The niskaneach. Onimok. Okay? It got lost, disappeared, it got diluted, blotted out, whatever happened. But she didn't find it. But there was Damnida, she has to be Asura. Now, how do I know? Dehargasha svara d'oiraisehi. Heicha d'leka l'mitli ha'argasha b'midi achrini. Kidemuchach perka roa kasem. Deparach animtsa la'achar zman p'turim min ha'karban. Idargisha. Am I pturin? The halacha is that if you find dam afterwards, let's say after tashmish, so she's not chayav skarba, because maybe this dam came after tashmish. She didn't do any yeser. But the Gemara said if she had a hargasha during Tashmish, so even though we didn't discover the blood till later, we will assume that the blood she found later is the blood that came out while she had the hargasha, and she's chayav as a karban. Alma, desvar deraisehi, midmechai v'ala karban. Right? It's not just the chumer derabanan. It tells me that when she had the hargasha, there was dam. Because if it didn't tell me that when she had hargasha, there was dam, so then you couldn't bring a karban. V'keva, desvar deraisehi, have kilaman d'amr vestos deraisa, dafilu badka omata tahora tamea. So, Bezos Hashem will get there, but there's a machlokas in the Gemara, several places, whether Vestos de Raisa or Vestos de Rabbanan. Now, what's the principal nafgamina between the Mandamer Vestos de Raisa and Vestos de Rabbanan? The nafgamina is in a case where a woman has a Vestos Kavua, she didn't do a Bedika during her Vestos. She does a Bedika after her Vestos. Vestos was on Tuesday. She forgot to do a bedika on her vesses, ay yay yay. So she does a bedika today on Wednesday. So if you hold vestos de Rabbanan, and that's the way we paskin, she's okay. She's mutaris. But if you hold vestos de Raisa, she's asura. But why? Why is she asura? She didn't see any dam. So Teresa Deshan said, this is the makor for my principle. Once you hold something as a din de Raisa, svar de Raisa, then we assume that means there was dam. And even if you don't find dam, we assume that there must have been dam. And where did the dam go? It was lost. Disappeared. So just like Laman de'amar vestos de'araisa, we assume there's dam, even though we don't discover dam. So too, hargash is de'araisa, so we're going to assume there's dam, even though we don't discover dam. But, he says, if you discover something, but it's not dam, some color that's tahor, so then you're okay. Because then we know what the hargasha was. The hargasha was associated with the dam yaruk, not dam nida. That is the basic idea, he says. Then he sort of, even though he says, well, I think if you find anything other than red dam, you should be okay. He knows, if you find nothing, she's a sura. But if you find something other than dam nida, you could be mekel. Well, amnam yaridani lahakel im nimtza l'haed lachluches de samich v'shiyesh ba mishosh k'tzas afagav de lovenu v'pnei ha-toim sheinam yodim v'hafli ben dam l'dam. You find something that's clearly not red, but people don't know how to distinguish so much, so maybe that case I'm machmir also. So that we could call that step two. Step one, which is Me'ikar HaDin according to Trumas HaDeshen, is if you have a hargasha and you discover nothing, you're asura. But if you discover something other than red blood, you'll be mutaris. And then you have step two, which is, well, if this is a smichus dam, even if it's not red, I'm also machmir. That's betar schumra. That's not Me'ikar HaDin. So we're going to consider both of these points, but we're going to first focus on this ikar point, which is that if there's actual dam, if there's nothing, she is asura. Now, obviously, the first presumption that Trumas HaDeshen is making is if she has this hargasha, and he's talking about psichas pi on the core, so then there was something that left. If you could have false hargashos that nothing leaves, neither dam tame or dam tahor, then he's wrong. Now, just in the world of Metzias, we'll talk about his halachic proofs, but if you assume that the hargasha he's describing is hargasha, not just that psichas pi on the core, but psichas pi on the core lahotzi dam, then it's a little bit of a smaller chiddush. If you remember, that's the way Rav Moshe learned the Trumas HaDeshen. So if you learn like Rav Moshe, the Trumas HaDeshen on a Metzias level, we'll talk about the halachic level, but on a Metzias level is a smaller chiddush. Also more narrow, but it's a smaller chiddush. Okay. Now, the Beis Yosef quoted the Trumas HaDeshen in Simen Kuf Peches, as we saw, and he writes, Nerali, Dechumros yeseros heim, the less dechash lehu. But at the same time, in our simen, in simen kuf tzadi, he paskins the truma sadeshet. So what's going on?
Isn't the basis just saying that on the second truma?
That's the question. So the Sidrei Tahara addresses a different question and addresses this as well, which is, why does the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Kuf Tzadi, when presenting the Trumas Hadeshen, use the Lashon of Yesh Omrim? What does Yesh Omrim indicate? So the Sidrei Tahara says that's because in Simen Kuf Peches he writes, Chumros Yaseirosim, the last Tachashbehu. In other words, not everybody agrees to the Trumas Hadeshen. In the end of the day, the Beis Yosef accepts it, Lahalacha, as a Yesh Omrim. In other words, many argue with the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen is full of Chumros Yaseiros. But he accepts it. Now it happens to be that the Sidrei Tahara does bring Rayos for the Trumas Hadeshen. He thinks it makes a lot of sense. But he thinks that the Lashon of the Yesh Omrim in Simen Kuf Tzadi reflects what the Beis Yosef said in Simen Kuf Peches, namely Chumros Yaseiros. The Torah Hashlamim disagrees over here, Sifkat and Beis. He says, nobody disagrees with the Trumas Hadeshen. How could you disagree? He brings ironclad proofs. So why does he say Yesh Omrim? Yesh Omrim doesn't imply that there are those that disagree. It's just he was the only one that said it. So, since he was the only one that said it, the Beis Yosef writes the Lashon of Yesh Omrim. Aye, what about what he said in Kuf Peches, Chumros Yaseiros? That was, like Yoni just said, on the extension of the Trumas Hadeshen, in the case where even when you find something that isn't red, the Chumra B of the Trumas Hadeshen, about that, the Beis Yosef said, Chumros Yaseiros. Now, the Sidrei Tahara didn't like that, because he's medayik from the plural. He says, Chumros Yaseiros. Should say, Chumra Yaseirahi. Why Chumros Yaseiros? You see, he's going on the Etzem Din as well. The Torah Shalomim, no. Chumros Yaseiros. But the Etzem Din, everybody agrees to. One way or the other, even though the Torah Shalomim says that nobody disagrees with the Trumas Hadeshen, there are some who disagree. The Radvaz explicitly disagrees. The Yaivitz disagrees. It's quoted in Pesachei Tshuva Sifkat and Zion. The Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rav, Aleph Lamed Daled, tries to show that the Ramban Yud Beis and Aleph disagrees. So there are some Rishonim and Achronim who disagree. But Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch accepts it, and we do accept the Trumas Hadeshen, whether or not there are those that disagree or not. Now, the first question we have to think about, before we get to the Ramaz Kashas on the Trumas Hadeshen, is whether the Trumas Hadeshen is saying his psak b'toras vadai or b'toras safik. So if you take a look at the Note of Yehuda, Simen Kuf Yotes, it's also cited in the Pesachei Tshuva Zion.
Can you use the word vadai?
Yes, we're going to get to that point in 1 second. The Note of Yehuda, cited by the Pesachei Tshuva, writes that even the Trumas Hadeshen didn't say it's vadai. He meant it's a safek de'oraisa, and that's why it's l'chumra. In other words, we can't say with certainty that there was blood here that was lost. After all, who says there was anything? And even if there was something, who says it was red? Maybe it was green. After all, I didn't discover anything, right? I didn't discover something green. I didn't discover something red. And we know, even the Trumas Hadeshen certainly concedes that Hargasha could be associated with Dam Yarok. So how could it be Vadai? Doesn't make any sense. Of course, it's Safik. And therefore, he thinks you could be Mitztarifit to a Sfeik Sfeika if there are other factors as well. The way the Samachronim present it is along the lines of a Hargasha is a Reyes and Erchezkas Tara, and therefore Misafik, we have to be Machmir, unless we could attribute the Hargasha to something else. However, as Rabbi just pointed out, the Lashon of the Trumas Hadeshen does not sound that way. It's logically very compelling to explain the Trumas Hadeshen that way, but Lemaisa, he writes, Devadai even in a case of batka achar kach v'lo matzal klum, devada yatza tipas dam kachar dal. So the question then is, how could he say that? How could he say that? How could you say it's vadai, dam, if you didn't discover anything? And this brings us to basically the two questions that the Rama in the Darkei Moshe, Siman Kuf Pecha Sifkan Beis, asks on the Trumas Hadasha. Two questions. Number one is that the Trumas Hadasha is based off of the assumption that Hargash is Deoraisa, like the Gemara says in Nzainamid Beis. He says, what are you talking about? Hargash is Deoraisa, when you find Dam, like in that Gemara, over there, she was having Tashmish, she had Hargasha, she found Dam. Then we say, Hargash is deraisa, you could be machayv a karban. How can you extrapolate from there to a case where you didn't find dam? That's question number one. We'll answer the question in a moment, but that's question number one. Question number two is, the Trumas Hadasha is based off of the fact that Vestos are deraisa, she's a sur even when you don't find dam. But he says, that's different. First of all, there she has a cheskas tameya, because of her vestas. Now that's not so clear, because maybe the Hargash also gives her a cheskas tamei, just like the vestas, lamandabar vestas deraisa. But there's a more fundamental question that the Darkei Moshe asks, which is, even lamanda amar vestos deraisa, you could do a bedika, b'shas vesta, and then she would be tahora. Meaning to say, even lamanda amar vestos deraisa, nobody says that if you find nothing, your Tamei automatically. Vestos deraisa doesn't mean if her vestas passes, she becomes an Ida. No! Laman damer vestos deraisa, she does a bedika during her vestas, it comes out good, she's muteras. We say, okay, this time, yeah, taka usually, she sees dam on her vestas, but this time she didn't. Right? So too, over here, this woman had argasha, she did a bedika, she didn't find anything, she's tahara. It's not like vestos, it's just like vestos. Right, even if we address the first question, we answer the first question, we say it's a Svar Deraisa even without Dam. But, okay, it's going to be a Svar Deraisa like Vestos. And just like Vestos, you do Argasha and you're Mutares. So too, if you have this Hargasha and you do a Bedika, she should be Mutares. Those are the two questions that the Rama asks on the Darkei Moshe. Again, seemingly, not the Darkei, on the Trumas Hadasha. Seemingly, the Rama accepts the Trumas Hadasha. He's not Masig in Kuf Tzadi. But he thinks it's very perplexing. He asked these two very fundamental questions. So we have to answer, we have to explain what would the Trumas Hadasha say, respond to these questions. So let's do question two first, and then we'll go back to question one. In terms of question two, we really have two mahalchim. One possibility is to actually bite the bullet and say, yeah, Trumas Hadasha would agree if you did a bedika right away. You do a bedika super fast, kashir vesis. Super fast. Well, define what shir vesas is a little later in Hilchos Nida. But you do a bedika shir vesas, super duper fast, then taka the Trumas Hadasha would agree that she's tahora. You do a bedika super fast, it's tahora, you're okay. Just like we say for vestos deraisa. You do vestos deraisa, you do a bedika, you mutaris. You do a bedika super fast, she's also mutaris. Who says this? Kreis Uplesi, the Sidrei Tara. They're quoted partially by the Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat Hei, Vav, and Zayin. When is the Trumas Hadasha talking about? When you do a bedika lachar shir vesis. You wait a while. Okay? Again, we have to define what a while is, but you wait a while. So that's like doing the bedika after the vesis. So just like vestos, if you do the bedika during the vesis, so she's tahora, even laman damar vestos deraisa. If you do the bedika after the vesis is over, then she's tamei, laman damar vestos deraisa. So too, hargasha. Once we accept hargasha as a svar deraisa, you do a bedika shir vesis, she's tahora, but you do a bedika lachar shir vesas, then she's tamei. In other words, we're going to answer the Rama's question by basically saying, no, actually this parallels vestos precisely. However, the Chavos Das disagrees. Chavos Das says, no, even if you do a bedika right away, she does become a surah. In other words, she does bedika, she has a sagasha, as quickly as she can, she has bedika, it comes out totally clean, she's a surah. So what's the pshat? Why does the Chavos Das reject the Plesi and his understanding of the Note of Yehuda, of the Truma Sedeshen. So, two possibilities. One is, maybe this goes back to the question we just discussed a minute ago, whether this is Vaday or Safek. The Note of Yehuda said if you do a Bedika right away, she's Mutaris, because he sees the whole Hargasha, even according to Truma Sedeshen, is a Safek, right? So you're Mevar, the Safek right away. Chavos Das disagreed with that. The Chavos Das said it's Vaday, like the simple reading of the Truma Sedeshen. It's Vaday. It's Vaday. If there's Vaday Dam, then doing the Bedika right away doesn't help. In other words, it's a reflection of that previous Machlokas. The second way to explain why the Chavos Das and others are Machmir is because there is no such thing as a Shir Vesis. Meaning to say, you can't. The Gemara on Yud Beis Amid Aleph, Anita, says, Barmine Rabbi Abba Me Ravuna. Right? She is Tashmish. Right after Tashmish, she does a Bedika Kshir Veses. Is her husband Chai V'chatas? Amar Lei, Mimishkachas Lel Bedika Kshir Veses. You can't. The hand can't move fast enough. V'atanya, Ezu Shir Veses, Mashal L'shamish V'eid, She'omdim B'tzad HaMashkov, B'yitzios HaShamish Nechnas HaEid. She could do a Kinuach right away. But a Bedika Kshir Veses can't do it. Right? Even if she does, she moves as fast as she can after Tashmish to do the Bedika, unless it's Mamish, you know, Yatza Shamish Nichnas Eid, then it's too slow. There's already a Safek. So if she does a Bedika, the Gemara is going to basically say there's three levels of time. There's Kshir Veses, which would be enough to be Mechai V'chatas, but you can't do a Bedika Kshir Veses. You could do a Kinuach Kshir Veses. Kinuach is just wiping, that you could be quicker, but a Bedika you can't do Kshir Veses. Then you could have this like middle level, and then later. For now, that doesn't relate to us. But you could say that the Chavos Das is saying, look, I agree with you, placing Note of Yehuda, that if you get a Bedika Kshir Veses, that would work, right? Like by Vestos. But it's impossible. By the time she does the Bedika, the period of Shir Veses has already passed. In which case, just like I can't be Mechai V'chatas, because maybe that Dam came afterwards, right? She wasn't Anita when they had Tashmish. She became Anita second after Tashmish. Can't bring a Karban, Chatas. So too, maybe Nashim Talui, but not Chatas, right? So too, you can't possibly do that Bedika fast enough. It's not like Vestos. Vestos, so the Vesis lasts 12 hours, so you could do a Bedika during the Vesis. But here, you couldn't possibly do a Bedika so quickly after the Hargasha to tell us that there was no Dam that left. So Elamai, even if you go as quickly as you can. So 3 seconds after she has Hargasha, she does a Bedika. Great. Well, in those 3 seconds, it was lost. That's like doing a Bedika after the Vesis is passed. And if you hold the Festos or Deraisa, then if you do Bedika after the Vestas is passed, even if it's 3 seconds after the Vestas is passed, what's the din? Mutaris. So that's why the Chavos Das rejects it. So again, to summarize, we have question number two of the Rama was what? If you're going to compare it to Vestos, then a Bedika should work, just like Bedikos work Lamandamar Vestas Deraisa. Answer number one, Note of Yehuda, Placey, they do. If you did a Bedika, Shir Veses, it would work. Does he mean literally Shir Veses or no? Even very fast, even less than a Shir Veses, because that's impossible to do Bedika Shir Veses is unclear. An interesting question. That's answer number one. Answer two, Chavos Das, even if you did a Bedika right away, it wouldn't work. What's Pshat Chavos Das? Two possibilities. Either because it's Vaday, a Bedika afterwards doesn't help, or possibility two, is no, a Bedika would work Shir Veses, even according to Chavos Das, if it's possible, but it's impossible. So therefore, it's doing a Bedika l'achar Shir Veses. That's like doing a Bedika after her Veses is over. You do a Bedika after the Veses is over, then it doesn't help Lamandam Vestas Deraisa. So now we have to go back to the first question. Again, the first question is, maybe Hargasha is only Mideraisa when you find Dam, like in the case of the Gemara, Daphne and Zayin, right? She has Hargasha, she finds Dam, and then we say, oh yeah, her husband has to bring a Karban, she has to bring a Karban, right? That's because of what? That's because it was, you found Dam. But how do we know if you don't find them, that our dash is deraisa. So basically, the Trumas HaDeshen is built upon two hanachos. And if you accept these two hanachos, then the Trumas HaDeshen makes sense. And if you reject them, then you'll reject it. Number one is that rov of what comes from the Makor is tame. Take a look at the Pesach Tshuva Sifkat and Vav, the Tshuvas Givashol, and the discussion over there. Vishol's Taka Big Chiddush. But you have to assume that rov of what comes from the Makor is tame. Now that's a bit of a Chiddush, because even though it's true that rov dam beprozdor is dam tame, maybe, and that's Taka Kivadai, like we talked about last time, you're Chai V'chatas, right? A woman does a bedika, so we assume that that dam that she finds in a bedika is dam nida, not dam aliyah. So that we know. That's not such a big chiddush. But again, there you found dam. Maybe 50% of what leaves her makor is yarok. 50% is red. Okay? So if that's true, just because she had a hargasha, that doesn't tell me there vadai dam nida left, right? Who says that that's true? Maybe it's 50% yarok, 50% adam. Maybe it's 60% yarok, 40%. How do I know? I know that if I see something red in the prosdor, then I'll pirov, it came from the makor, it didn't come from the aliyah. But I don't know that if I see that rove of what leaves the makor is red and not green. So the Trumas HaDeshen is clearly assuming that rove is red, and therefore, when you had a hargasha, we assume something left, and we can assume, al pi rov, that what left was red, unless we know otherwise. That's what he's assuming. Maybe a makor for this is the sugya of Eim Psichas HaKever below dam, which we discussed in Simen Kuf Peches. There too, we assume that when there's Psichas HaKever, that dam left. It wasn't green stuff that left, but red stuff that left, right? And that's what's happening over here. What happened over here was she had a hargasha that niftacha makora. Niftacha makora, in psichas hakaver below dam, something left. And just like over there, we assume it's going to be red, so too, over here we assume it's red. So that's assumption number one, that the Trumas HaDeshen is saying, is presuming. Which might be a very good presumption, but that's number one. Now, even there, we said it has to be like a big opening, not a little opening. So maybe the Trumas HaDeshen is saying, that's probably deraisa. But maybe the Trumas HaDeshen is saying, oh, so also over here, she felt something that would be a big opening. We discussed that over there. Number two is that he's assuming that if there was hargasha, for sure something left. Right? In other words, if you don't assume that something left, maybe nothing left. It's true, even if we say that rove of what leaves the makor is taka red and not green. But who said something left? Maybe the makor opened up and it closed up. So this is why we said that if you learn like Rav Moshe, maybe it's a little smaller chiddush, because she actually felt it opening up to expel something. But one way or the other, you have to assume this. Again, I'm just noting his assumptions, not that maybe they make a lot of sense. But he's saying that most of the time, or all of the time, when she has hargasha, something left. And again, I think that makes a lot of sense if you're talking about a hargasha sheniftacha makora. And certainly, hargasha sheniftacha makora v'yatza mashu. Now, this might be, we're going to get back to this question in just a couple of minutes, why expanding the Trumas HaDeshen to, let's say, other forms of hargasha, like zivas davar lach, or nizdaza evareha, doesn't make any sense. Again, in a moment we'll see this in Machlok Sechronim, but just before we get there, because if she had Zivas Davar Lach, okay, that's all I know is that there was something Lach, right? How do I know that something left her Makor? Especially the note of Yehuda is Zivas Davar Lach. That doesn't have to be, you know, it's anywhere in a Prozdor, right? In other words, if within the Trumas HaDeshen's Hargasha, the Trumas HaDeshen's Chiddush makes a lot of sense. Since the Hargash I had was Psichas Pia Makor, so once I assume that that's accurate, and I assume that any time the Makor opens up, something leaves, and I also assume that rova what leaves is red. So then, if you make those two assumptions, the Turis Hadeshen follows. But if we're talking about a Hargasha that doesn't necessarily say that something left the Makor, like Zivas Davarlach, so then it's not, it seems like a very, it's a much more questionable Chiddush to say the Turis Hadeshen. Just one second. Right, another, just to say that last point a little differently. Right, what did the Trumas Hadeshen prove it from? He said the fact that you bring a carbon, right? On Daphne and Zion. Now again, over there you found Dan. So how could you prove his point? So Lachorah, the Pshat is that, I mean, the Pshat is two things. First of all, he says, well, you see from Vestos that once something is deraisa, even if you don't find Dan, you assume that there's Dan. And B, that let's say it wasn't true. Right? Let's say lots of times she has Hargasha and Dan doesn't leave. So then it wouldn't make sense that we would be Mechayev her Karban, because maybe she had this Hargasha and no Dan left. And then 5 seconds later, the Dan left, and that's what she found. Right? So the fact that we're Mechayev her Karban has to teach me that when she had Hargasha, at least most of the time, enough to be Mechayev Karban, that actually Dom leaves. Okay, yes?
Just the second assumption that we're saying in Shuvah Sedeshen, that if there's a Tifa Spiema Karban and something left, doesn't that just reduce to the actual Tifa Spiema Karban rule of Dom?
So that's what we talked about in Kuf Peches. Maybe, maybe not. Remember, we asked that question on... We addressed the question there. Are you going to say that that's true? Does the Trumas Hadeshen, are we talking about the same level of Psichas HaMakor where we could say Yefshar Psichas Kevin Blow Dam, right? That, and would it only be true according to that opinion? Right, that if you remember we quoted the Mishnah Achrona and Rav Moshe's answer and the like, it goes back to that question. But perhaps.
Was the Chavis Das answering for the Trumas Hadeshen, or was he just arguing with the answer that the crazy place he said? I'm just trying to clarify what
I think within the Trumas Hadeshen, no?
So what's his answer? He doesn't answer that question.
Sure he does. The answer is that you well, which way of explaining the Chavis Das part? Version A or version B?
I didn't see how either. Those are just
both of those are great answers. Saying that don't ask, this is it's exactly like Vestos. Vestos, if you do a Bedika during the Vesses, even Laman Damer Vestos Daraisa, she's Torah. If you do a Bedika after the Vesses, she is Temeah. So too here. If you could do a Bedika during the Hargasha, or Shir Vesses after the Hargasha, then Taka she would be Torah, but that's impossible. So Memela, you did the Bedika after the Vesses is over. When you do the Bedika after the Vesses is over, Lamanda Amar Vesus Deraisa, she's Temeah.
So we're assuming she's going to have a Hargasha?
I don't know what you mean.
When she does a Bedika during the Vesta.
What's your question?
She
had a Hargasha, right? And then she does Bedika 5 minutes later.
Right.
And it's good. Says the Trumas Hadeshen, she's Temeah. Right. Just like if a woman has a Vesus, and she doesn't do Bedika during her Vesus, and she does a Bedika 5 minutes after her Vesus passes, and she finds nothing, she's Temeah. It's identical.
By Vesus, she doesn't need to have a Hargasha?
No. Mandam or Vestus deraisa, I mean, the assumption is if she's going to be a Surah deraisa, she must have had a Hargasha, and she didn't. But the point is, the Mandam or Vestus deraisa, she will be a Surah, even though she didn't do a Bedika during her Vesses. I'm sorry, even though she did a Bedika after her Vesses, which was good, because we assume that there must have been Dam during her Vesses, Orach was Manoba, and something happened, and it disappeared. Again, we don't Paskin that way, but he's bringing in a proof, because we Paskin Vesses to Rabbanan,
right.
But he's bringing a proof from the Mandam or Vesses to Raisa to Hargasha, where we certainly do accept Hargasha's Midaraisa.
What was the other focus about Safik and Bale? How did he explain the Trumas Hadeshen according to that?
that since the Chavos Das assumes it's Vaday, so therefore doing the B'dik afterwards doesn't help.
The Shemitz Adeshin was saying it didn't Vaday, not like the Node View.
The Node View just said it was a Suffolk, but right. The Chavos Das said, one second, look at the Lashon, the Shemitz Adeshin, it's a Vaday. So therefore, once it's Vaday, doing a B'dik afterwards isn't going to help. It's Vaday. You can't do B'dika. There was for sure Dam.
How does that answer the question of the Ramah? The Ramah is saying, you only if you find Dam, this is you can find any Dam.
That's the first question. We weren't trying to answer that. All this is to answer the second question of the Ramah.
Of the comparison to Vestas.
Yeah. The first question, the answer to the Ramah, is what we said afterwards, which is that once you make these two assumptions, then the Trumas Adeshin is compelling. You can't really prove it. You need both aspects of the both proofs for the Trumas Adeshin to work. A, you need a proof Hagasha Midaraisa, and B, that Laman de Amar Svar Deraisa, like Vesas Deraisa, there's Dam even without finding it. Once you, even when you do a B'dika afterwards, it's good. It's only when you have both of those points that you can prove the Trumas Adeshin's point, which is why the Trumas Adeshin needs both.
So the point of Vada is to compare it to Vestos, because we assume Vestos Deraisa means...
You don't have to say Vada to say the Trumas Adeshin. Like, the Trumas Adeshin does say Vada, but you don't need to. You can learn the Trumas Adeshin like the Nodbiyuda.
The point that Rabbi just made, that Chavos Das holds Vada and Nodbiyuda holds it was so what does that explain?
That would explain why... That one manifestation of that debate, one manifestation is, you know, could you be mistarfa to a sfeik sfeika?
Right.
Another manifestation is, if you did a bedika immediately afterwards, would it help? If you think it's vadai, then it doesn't help. It's vadai. If you think it's suffix, so then a bedika immediately afterwards could teach me that it was okay.
I don't understand that point, but maybe...
The comparison of the Chavos Das makes that Gemara is a little short, at least it explains. That Gemara is talking about La'akar Tashmas being Mechayev the Baal and the Karbon.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why she's doing it right away is because in order to be Mechayev the Karbon, we have to know that the Dalam is there in Shas Tashmash. In the case of she just had Argasha, it could take a couple of. If anything, you would say that La'alter, Miyad, is bad to do the B'dika right there because it's going to take time for the Dalam to come out.
No, the Dalam already came out. The Dalam came out during the Argasha. The Dalam came out after the Argasha, she's not Tamei B'Dirasha. The B'dika, a B'dika is Chorin the Stuckin. A B'dika goes all the way up to the Makor. So if it was there, you're going to find it.
Assuming that the B'dika goes... that wherever it is that the Makor is, the B'dika has to go all the way...
That seems to be the assumption about B'dikos. Malcolm, right? Now, we'll talk about later on when we do B'dikos, to what extent that's Ma'akev and the like. But that's the basic assumption for B'dikos. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Perhaps, I don't remember Rabbi Willis says correctly, but if he's assuming that Hargosha means... Meaning, Hargosha, if you have blood, is seeing blood at a time in which he normally sees blood, how can you read the Trumas Adeshin with...
Rabbi Willig assumes that in a world where there were Hargoshos, a Hargosha makes her Tameya. The question, Rabbi Willig's Chiddush, is only in a world without Hargoshos. The Trumas Adeshin was talking about the olden days when there were Hargashas. Anytime you had Hargasha, it's a Riya Kedarka, and she's a Surah Midiraisa.
So then, meaning, assuming Rabbi Willig said this, then the Trumas Adeshin isn't the Yelam Aisa?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll get there. That's on the agenda for today.
Regardless, it's not
the Yelam Aisa. Well, let's get there. You're right, but let's get there. Let's get there. Okay. Fine. All right, let's skip a little bit. Ay. We're out of time. Okay, I guess we're out of time. So, we'll stop here. I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about first next time. We're going to continue talking about the Trumas Adeshin, but just an important question to think about in advance for next time. If you look in Siman Kuf Pei Ches, Sif Aleph, so... The halacha is that you need to do a bedika immediately, right? If you do the bedika immediately after the hargasha, and you find dam yarok, then the Trumas Adeshin concedes that she's tarya, right? How miyad is miyad? What happens if a woman does a bedika, she has a hargasha, and then 5 hours later she does a bedika and she sees something yarok? What's the halacha according to Trumas Adeshin? Take a look. Chavos Das, the Archa Shulchan, I'll discuss that question. The next question is Zivas Davar Lach for the Trumas Hadeshen. The Chassam Sofer discusses that at length, quoting Pesachei Tshuva, as well as look at Igros Moshe, Yordei Chelek Dalet, Simen Yud Zayin, Os Ches. Very important. Do underwear count as a bedika for the Trumas Hadeshen? Also take a look at Rav Moshe over there, Os Yud. And what we're going to do next time is talk about the Lemaisa of what to do with all this Trumas Hadeshen thing and how to advise Kalas and doing bedikas for Zivas Davar Lachs and all those exciting things. Then, of course, I hope we'll move on to Sif Beis. And we'll do that quickly. We'll probably get through next time Sif Hay, which is where we're going to talk a lot about the Shir Gris. For Sif Hay, it's very kedai to do the Chuvas Chassam Sofer, Simen Kuf Nun, and Kuf Pei Beis. It's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva, but I recommend looking at it. I also recommend, very strongly recommend doing the Tshuva, Me'ilt Staka. There's a couple of them, quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva. But the Iker one to do, though they're both important, is Simen Chaf in the Me'ilt Staka. We're going to go through that together, at least parts of it, because he really deals with the Lamdas of Gris very nicely and gets back to the Makoros and the like. So, very important for next time to do that Shuvas Mil Staka Simen Chaf carefully. On the Makoros sheets, I gave you a little piece of that, because when I made those Makoros sheets, it wasn't on the Bar Ilan Responsa. But now it is. So, so just get it that way. And if you have a chance, take a look at the Shuvas Chacham Tzvi Simen Sanach Zayin, which is an interesting question. So, and again, as I said, the Chassam Sofer. So, but the most important of those Tshuvos on Gris is the Chassam Sofer, the Me'il Tzedakah. Also very important, is Rav Moshe on Shir Gris. Very important Tshuva from Rav Moshe. It's not on your sheets. Where is the Rav Moshe? Yoredeya Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Gimel. Okay? So definitely make sure you see Yoredeya Chela Gimel Simen Nun Gimel for next time. So again, the Chassam Sofer, Igros Moshe, and Me'il Tzedakah are the most important things to see for next year in terms of the Sugya of Gris and how it applies nowadays.